Let us pray, and then I invite Sue. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as a community of faith, to lean upon one another, to hear a word from you as we listen to your word, as both read and spoken, as we sing praise, and as we listen to one another. Lord, I ask that you speak through Sue today, and that you open our hearts and minds to what she has to say. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, sound check. Am I on? Okay. Well, good morning and welcome again to Northwest Hills United Methodist. And I am Reverend Sue, and I think I know almost all of you here in this service. Didn't know quite everybody in the first service, but maybe you don't see me all that well usually, hiding behind the table and being the short person in the choir, but I'm very glad to be here. Now, if by any chance you have looked closely at your bulletin this morning, you may have noticed something just a little bit different, or then again, maybe not, but the scripture that's listed. We do not often see the preacher using one of the Psalms. But I have decided this week to talk about that wonderful and unique book of the Bible. So I'm going to kind of give you a lesson on the Psalms and then a lesson from the Psalms. And we're using Psalm 138, and I would like us to read it together as a responsive reading. It will be up on the screen, or it is on page 853 in the back of your hymnal. I'll read the light print and you will read the dark. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You strengthened my life. All the rulers of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For the Lord is high, but regards the lowly, yet knows the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out my hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. O Lord, fulfill your purpose for me. O Lord, may your steadfast love endure forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. I imagine a lot of you that attend this service remember worship services here and elsewhere where such a responsive reading of a psalm is done every Sunday. And in the lists of suggested Bible readings that are available for churches to use, that's called a lectionary, there is lists of a gospel, an Old Testament reading, a reading from the back part of the New Testament. And every single Sunday of every single year, there is a psalm. It must be kind of important. Now, this book of the Bible is unique because it's not a historical document. It's not a story of peoples and nations as they developed their relationship with God. It is not a story of the coming and ministry of the Christ or of the formation of the early church. It is a collection of songs and prayers and poems and maybe even the ancient equivalent of journaling. In other words, this book reflects the thoughts and the feelings and the prayers, the laments and the complaints and the celebrations of people much like us, talking about God or to God. Now, many of the Psalms, if you look in your Bible, will say something at the beginning like, of David, and for thousands of years, really. People have believed that King David of ancient times wrote the Psalms, or most of them, and it may be that he wrote many of them, or people in his court, but certainly not all of them. And I'm going to give you a couple of homework assignments here. If you look at the psalm immediately before the one we read, Psalm 137, it is very clearly about the Babylonian exile, which happened 400 to 500 years after the time of David. But we don't know who wrote them. We don't know who collected them. But they have been used at worship services routinely for Jewish and Christian congregations since they have been in worship. I didn't say this in the first service, but that just made me think that there was a time, musicians, where people didn't sing hymns like we do. The only music that was allowed was singing the Psalms. And so that has persisted. Many of our worship songs today are based on the Psalms. The first one that we sang this morning, our opening one, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. If you look at the little bottom thing, it's based on Psalm 71. There is a list in the back of your hymnal of all the hymns that are based on Psalms, and there's a lot of them. Psalms is the longest book in the Scriptures. And according to one reference I used, the book of Psalms is quoted and referenced in the New Testament more than any other book in the Old Testament. And of course, the Old Testament is the Hebrew Scriptures then and now. The author of that same reference says that the theology, which is God talk in everyday English, the theology of the Psalms is in agreement with the heart of Jesus preaching and teaching, because the core message of Psalms is the same as that of Jesus, that God is in charge all the time, in every circumstance, for every person. Now, the Psalms are not all songs of praise and celebration. Some are complaints expressing the real human pain and anger that we all feel and addressing it to God. I was a hospital chaplain for 11 years. My job was to be there for people in the midst of all the crises and pain that life hands us. And many times people really feel unable to express that pain to the doctors and the nurses and maybe even to their own family and friends. But as a chaplain, many times I heard people say, "I am so angry about this. I am so angry that I can't even pray. I can't talk to God." And expressed or implied with that was the fear that God would not approve their anger. My answer would be something along the line of, why don't we sit down and read some Psalms together? Because many of the Psalms start out with the person basically yelling at God, just figuratively and maybe at the time really shaking their fist and yelling at God, expressing pain and fear and anger. These are called Psalms of Lament. When I was studying Psalms years ago, I was surprised to learn that the Psalms of Lament start out with the complaint, but all of them end with expressions of faith and trust. God listens when we express our pain and our fear and our anger, our disappointment. I would tell those people who told me they were afraid to tell that to God, that God has big shoulders and can handle whatever we throw at God. God wants us to give God that pain and fear and anger. God's listening has the power to turn our fear to trust and to walk with us in that pain when we express it. Reading those Psalms of Lament helps us. More homework. Go home and read Psalm 22, which was used by Jesus when he was on the cross, and Psalm 3 and 13. They're just a few examples. Now, other psalms are celebrations by an individual or by a group, and some are meant to be prayed by an individual, and some are meant to be sung by a group in celebration. There's hardly a situation or a human feeling that a psalm doesn't address. The one that we read earlier, Psalm 138, is classified as an individual song of praise. Line one is, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. Now, as I read this, I had a question. Did you notice? Somebody want to tell me what that question might have been? You heard it. Gods. I didn't hear. Gods with a little G. Before the gods, I sing your praise. That kind of tripped me up. Why is that person singing God's praise, God with a big G, praise, before little G gods? And I thought of a couple of things, and we'll digress a little and talk about that. One thing that I thought of is that the person might have been referring indeed to those idols that were still worshipped commonly by people in that part of the world, back in David's time and in Jesus' time and after that. Making sure that the God that person addressed was the all-powerful creator. Or I had another thought. One of them was that maybe, and this is a whole different sermon, maybe it's those things that we all put in God's place so often, that we give our faith and our allegiance and our trust to instead of the Almighty God. Things like power and money, status. Okay. Well, You know, I have found that when I read the Bible, and especially when I study the Bible, it's always very informative to use more than one translation. Now, what we read this morning is from the New Revised Standard. The New International Version puts gods in quotation marks but gives no explanation. So I puzzled on this for a couple of days. And then I opened up the Bible that I actually use for my daily devotions, which is the New American Bible. And guess what? It says angels. Angels. Yeah. Those heavenly beings that are the messengers and the communicators of God's will to humans. So this person who is praying in Psalm 138 is praying sincerely and thankfully to God and to all the heavenly beings. We don't know what he or she had done or experienced, except that it was hard and it was painful and it was scary, and that they called on God and were strengthened and comforted. Now, I've had that happen, and I know a lot of you have. But some people, even those who believe in God, somehow think that they don't deserve to be rescued from trouble. Is that a message? get my place here. Some people believe that they don't deserve to be rescued from trouble. Maybe they think that whatever it is their fault. Again, as a chaplain, I have heard a lot of people say that they think that whatever it is that they did is not forgivable, and that's not what the scriptures tell us. Or maybe, and this was me for a number of years, they think that they have to use up every single bit of their own strength first before asking God to take over. But this person that wrote this prayer called on God, worshiped God, trusted God to protect them, and then at the end of the psalm asks a very critical question. O Lord, fulfill your purpose for me. He or she knows that trouble is still possible, even probable, but now calls on the Lord and trusts the Lord to be present with them in the midst of it, and asks that he or she be shown now a God-given purpose in life, that their response to God's presence, to God's love, to God's peace, is to have a purpose to live for God in the presence of others. Now, I found a modern paraphrase of Psalm 138 in a book called Psalms Now. I found it at Half Price Books around 30 years ago, but it could have been written yesterday. Here is that paraphrase. I am exceedingly grateful, O Lord, for you have heard my cries and complaints, and you have responded with mercy and strength. Now my life is overflowing with thanksgiving and my mouth is filled with your praises. If only the leaders of our disjointed world would listen to your words and direct their people according to your will, they would know the meaning of peace and they would rejoice always in the ways of God. You have not shielded me from the pains of trouble or the ravages of conflict, but you have kept me even amid sorrow and suffering. You take my side against the enemies of my soul, and you will not allow them to destroy me. Thus, I know that you will fulfill your purpose for my life. Your love and mercy is everlasting. You will not let me go. And now may you and I always remember that God is in charge, that God is always with us, that God always listens, and that God will always provide strength and comfort through God's love and God's people. Amen.